You are listening to Digging In Podcast, presented by Rooted Wealth Advisors.
Welcome back to another episode of the Digging In Podcast. I'm your host, Kincho Kelly, helping you get those questions answered to and through retirement. Today, I am joined by one of the newest faces of the Rooted Wealth Advisors team, Mr. Michael Pushell. How are you?
Kench, good to be here. I'm doing swell. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Swell.
You know, sometimes I revert to the language of the 1940s or 50s. It's what I like to do.
Swell.
I'm swell.
Okay, Grandpa. Thanks for...
You bet, Johnny. Let me just say, my favorite TV show is the Andy Griffith Show. So you can imagine a guy like me would say swell on occasion.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Small town America. I mean, that is American history right there.
That's right. I love it. A lot of good life lessons. It makes me laugh. It was my parents' favorite TV show. It continues to be... probably my favorite TV show if you had to pin me down on it.
Okay.
Love it to death. Love
That's it. Awesome. Yep. Well, thanks for jumping on the podcast. I know you're a busy guy, but I felt like it was way past due to get you introduced via the podcast. You've been with the firm since November.
November. That's right.
All right.
I'm still a greenhorn.
So what brought you here?
You don't mean my car.
No, okay, no, I checking. Don't, okay. But you did make it in today.
Right,
so
right.
That's good. It wasn't the horse and buggy.
No, we've upgraded to a Hyundai. It works just fine. Yeah, you know, I've known Zach for a little while, and I always liked Zach. Zach's the kind of guy, he and I would grab lunch maybe once a year or so, and so I came here after 20 years in full-time vocational ministry as a pastor down in Watsika, or home base out of Watsika, though we have a few different campuses around. And yeah, after 20 years of doing that, just felt like there were new things ahead for me. And Zach and I end up just having coffee and talking through some things. And that becomes, hey, I've been looking for a guy, and I think you might be the guy. And so we kind of rode it together, and it's been a great ride so far.
I remember it was after he had come back from a trip visiting our Denver office out there, and him and Jacqueline, our events director, were stuck on the plane. It wasn't leaving. And he said that there was a guy that got on that was like your doppelganger. And he's like, man, I've been thinking about that guy. I should shoot him a text. And you know what happens when Zach shoots you a text? Because the same thing happened to me. You end up here is what happens.
So the guy that he saw was really handsome, I guess?
Really, like, dashingly, yeah. So.
Oh, I bet. I
mean, and that guy was probably swell as well.
I'm sure he sounds swell.
So 20 years as a pastor, Zach says he keeps hiring pastors. You're the second pastor to come on board at when work at Rooted. Do we just need that much help?
You know, we all need a little help, don't we? We all need somebody to talk to. We all need somebody to confide in, to trust, somebody who can pour our hearts out to. And I'm a little bit of that for sure. And I love being that guy. So yeah, I think we all need a little bit of help. Does Rooted need a lot of help? No, definitely not. Rooted could do a lot of great things without me, but I'm really glad to be a part of the team.
So tell me a little bit about your history. You said you spent 20 years as a pastor, but you're just barely scratching the surface here, because I know you worked in sports a little bit. You worked at Disney. Like, tell me a little bit about maybe the skill set, that you're bringing to the firm.
Well, I'll break down the pastoral work a little bit. For a number of years, served as a worship pastor. You might call that a music pastor, depending on your tradition in different ways. So overseeing and leading and serving teams of musicians and technical people, on our different campuses. And that's something I love. I play a lot of instruments. I love to lead in that way. And I still do it as a volunteer at the same church that I just left after 15 years. So love that. I then moved into a role as a campus pastor where I actually lead all the people who lead all the ministries within a given campus. And then collaborate with our other campus pastors and lead pastors to make decisions that sort of work broad stroke for all of us and then specifically for our campuses. So creating environments for those leaders, volunteer leaders primarily, to do the things that they need to do. And then a lot of just one-on-one personal stuff as well. And then moved into a role of what we called basically a multi-site pastor, if you will. We called it a pastor of church multiplication. So just thinking about sort of the bigger picture, 30,000 foot view of like our strategy, our processes, our footprint growth, our systems, and the ways that we worked, mostly doing things the same as different church campuses, but also how we would have some distinction as well and do those things a little bit differently. So kind of thinking a specific lane into a little bit broader stroke at a campus and then to sort of a whole church or what we might call a global role as we think strategically. So those are sort of a lot of skills developed as a pastor. Prior to that, I worked in sports marketing. I like sports. I grew up playing all kinds of sports, played all the things, played baseball forever, played football, super competitive, loved it. Never been like a total sports maniac though, but got a job working in sports because of my background in marketing, my background a little bit on the entertainment side as well. And worked primarily with our corporate sponsorships a good bit, working on sort of the venues for how our corporate sponsors could be integrated into our events and connect with who they wanted to connect with. Worked a good bit on creating what we called a housing bureau. So developing a system for how to take all of our hoteliers. I'm from Central Florida, so very, very populated, lots of tourists. So taking a whole county, a county of, I don't know, at that time, around 600,000 people, just between Tampa and Orlando, you can imagine all the sort of hotels and entertainment pieces there, how to collectively take all those and sort of house them in a way that was strategic to be able to brand ourselves as a county to large events that would be recruited. We'd recruit from all over the world. And I worked a lot with our events that had, say, 5,000 plus attendees. But yeah, got to work also in television for that, television production, hiring creative for that, hiring production companies for that, working through how we had to work with our corporate sponsors on those things, and then also developed a sports talk radio show that I would write weekly, bringing guests for, again, working with our corporate sponsors for that as well. So yeah, all those fun things in sports marketing. Prior to that, I worked at Walt Disney World as a singer, with the Dapper Dans of Main Street USA, which is a barbershop quartet. I did that for a few years as well. And, loved it. I've always been a singer, grew up 30 or 40 minutes from Walt Disney World. So it was always kind of a dream to do that, kind of fell into it, got a on the street, opportunity. Literally, I was working another job at Disney, just hosting entertainment groups. If you've ever had a high schooler go to Walt Disney World and maybe play in the marching band or something and spend a few days there, I was the guy who met you at Walt Disney World and became your host for the day. So I was doing that role. Ended up, the guys were singing, said, "Hey, you want to sing a song?" I sang a song and they were like, "Do you want a job?" And I was like, "Actually, let's talk." So, good times for sure. I don't miss the income from it, but I do miss the work experience and loved it. Got to connect with people and just have a great time and be myself. It was just a really, really good time.
Hard to live off of a straw hat full of tips, huh? Right. Is that what you're telling me?
You know, slightly better than that. Slightly better than that. A few steps above making hot dogs for sure. But yeah.
Way to flex on the hot dog guy though. So for those of you wondering, yes, Michael is a Dapper Dan man. So that's awesome. Going back to like the church piece of it, I don't think a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this, so maybe I'm just saying a lot of people, but I don't think a lot of people think about the business of church. and the structure and the organization and all the things that go on behind the scenes, right, that help it function as a business. So I think we've been incredibly blessed and grateful for your organizational insight, if you will, into that area.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate those kind words. Thank you. Absolutely. A church is wonderful. But you can imagine the skill that it takes to not just exist, but to grow and then to grow healthy. And it's not just, let's say, great teaching, though that is certainly helpful. And it's not just, let's say, maybe great music is your thing, though that helps. And it's not just, let's say, a really dynamic children's ministry, though that helps. And it's not just maybe a really dynamic student ministry, if you will, for older ages, but that helps for sure. But all those things can get very chaotic and just fight against each other as a church grows. And a church might grow just in single site and the difficulty that it takes to move large crowds of people in strategic ways. Or it might grow in complexity like we did as a church with multiple locations, where even if they're relatively small, just to put it together and communicate it effectively becomes extremely complex. So having an eye on how do we talk to these folks? How do we lead a team to put things together where it transfers between campuses in the right ways that are similar, but also creates pathways for things to be unique and contextualized in those places at the same time? Because even though we're all, in our case, one church in many locations, it is contextualized and the groups are a little bit different. That's just the way it is. And they have a little bit need, a little bit bent on things sometimes. So how do you keep the main thing the main thing, but also contextualize it enough that it makes sense without making everyone recreate the wheel every single time? That is the work of that I did quite a bit in ministry.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that insight here for sure. And I think for the first month, maybe two, you kind of had this, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, a lot of this going on. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what insights have you been able to glean since becoming a major part of this team?
You know, I'm so grateful for the insight that immediately sticks out, and that is that people care a lot. You know, I knew Zach and I believed Zach. And I know Zach founded this company and he runs this company, and it's, I expect him to give, right? You expect him to give a positive pitch on his baby, right? This is a way we'd all do this for something we create. And so I expected that, but I also had spent enough time with Zach to hear his heart on life and people and not just his company. And as we sat down to have coffee a number of times, sort of unscheduled, unplanned in any way, I began to see his heart. I began to see, him be vulnerable with the ways that he felt as a business owner and founder, as someone who is responsible for a team of employees, who also bears a responsibility for clients and the life earnings that they have entrusted to this organization to be responsible for and to be accountable for and to answer for in a lot of ways. You feel that when you're around here, as you walk these halls and have conversations, you see people who think about that. It keeps them up at night sometimes. They talk about it when they go home, about work struggle and what's great and what's tough. And there is a certain weight to that, that I really appreciate for this organization. We all want to do what we want to do. We want to live a life we want to live. But when you come in here, there's an expectation that you work hard for other people's money. They've worked hard to earn it. And we work hard to continue to be good stewards of it and to hopefully to increase it in healthy ways and manage it in healthy ways. And that's something that I certainly would not expect for people to take it lightly, but I've been impressed continuously by just how people take it to heart. And, you know, as I like to say, manage someone's money like it's your own money. And that is what people do around here. people make decisions, whether it's on the marketing side of how we, you know, interact with potential new clients, or the folks in what we call the back office who do all the magic, if you will, with the numbers. It's not something they take lightly. They work hard at it. They work long hours, and it's stressful work, and they're banging out phone calls, and they're on the phone waiting for little answers all the time, and constant communication. And that's really impressive to me. It's not just put a few digits in a piece of software. It's not waiting for some vendor to get back to us necessarily. It's people here who get up early, they come in, they work hard, they have all the conversations they need, they carry the wins and the victories, and we celebrate together, but they also carry the stress that comes, the responsibility that comes with being accountable to these clients and potential clients. And to me, that speaks volumes. And it's really great to be a part of an organization like that.
And I don't say this lightly, but it's not like that everywhere. I've spent a great deal of time in the industry and in other offices, not to put anybody in down in particular, but there's a lot of offices where the staff comes in and they punch in and they do the thing and they punch out, right? And they're not as invested, or there's not as much depth to the care or the details as there is here. It's one of the things that I love about being a part of this team is that it does feel like everybody that's on this team really is willing to go the extra mile and to do whatever it takes. Obviously, it keeps Zach up at night, and he's got blood, sweat, and tears, invested into this business. But I think a lot of the other staff do too at this point. A lot of people that have been here for multiple years at this point and just want to do whatever it takes for our clients. And I like how you said magic with the numbers, like it's some like fantasy land and back and they're opening accounts and they're right. Transferring money and like all this stuff. It's like, it's just funny to me to hear some of the words you use as you're still getting acclimated to the business. You're like, it's in the back, magic with numbers.
Right. Yeah. And you know, all the things that you just said, such a gift for me to come in. You know, I a friend of mine uses the term middle brained for someone like myself, and he used it to describe himself. We're a little bit creative and a lot of bit organized in those ways. And that is sort of the place that I live and have lived for a long time. And, but you know, coming out of 20 years of pastoral ministry, full-time vocational pastoral ministry, that's still my heart. My heart at my core is I care about people deeply. Like I care about people. I'm not too embarrassed to cry at the drop of a hat. That's just me. That's the way I'm wired. And I'm okay with that. And the older I get, the more comfortable I am just being exactly who I am and quick to admit what I'm bad at and quick to admit what I'm actually pretty good at. And to be able to come in such a natural, I'll say natural fit, though maybe I'm still figuring that out, but Zach, a very specific part of my role is to come in and care for the team. Zach, of course, cares greatly for this team, but to be able to come in as another person who could become a go-to person as the, where it would be more of a primary responsibility. And that's certainly extended to our clients as well. I care deeply about people. I care how they feel, whether it's founded in all the truths or even lies sometimes, right? I care deeply about the way that I am perceived. I care about the way this company and these people who make up this company are perceived. I care about making people feel comfortable. I care about building trust, not just trust for the sake of trust, but trust because you are trustworthy. Those are things I value a great deal, giving encouragement and hope to people who sometimes feel scared, sometimes even feel a little helpless or a little lost, whether it be their financial journey or otherwise in life. Those are things that I felt like such a great fit to be able to slide in here and to be, to fill that gap. Or maybe gap's probably not a fair way to say it. But as we sort of retool what the staff looks like around here, to be able to come in and fill those shoes, I love that part of my job. And I'm still, I think we're still learning fully what my job is, but that's a piece of it that I certainly hoped I would love, thought I would love. Zach assured me, this is what I need from you. And it's just been a great piece of what I get to do, just what I get to do. I'm really grateful for that.
Well, it's really cool to see you become such a natural fit with the team and with the clients and with the brand, really, that is Rooted. So I appreciate you coming in, being your authentic self, helping to retool a few things, but understanding that it didn't require a huge makeover, I guess, because a lot of the structure, a lot of the things are in place to help take the business to the next level. So I appreciate that, and I'm glad to have you here.
I appreciate that. Thank you. The learning curve is steep. That is for sure. But you know, it's been such a good challenge. It is every day I'm learning. I'm Googling a lot all the time, reading all the materials all the time, reading all the things.
You've stopped asking me what acronyms we're using on a given day.
A little bit less, anyway.
I mean, a little bit less. You think you've got them down now?
No, I do not. But I read a lot. You know, in the last few years, something I learned about myself is I'm a learner. I love to learn. I really love to learn. And that was part of what fueled my courage to walk in the door here, was to say, there's a lot I'm not going to know that I don't necessarily need to know yet, but I should know over time. And the courage to do that has been a challenge I'm really glad I accepted.
One of these podcasts, I'm just going to spring on you like a pop quiz. And we're just going to go down some acronyms and we'll see how well you do.
Oh, please do not do that.
We'll see how well you grade out. It was great having you on the podcast today. And we'll look forward to many more in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kinch.
Yeah. If you want to give Michael a shout or a congratulations on his new role, you can find his email on the website or you can just call the office, 815-918-4727. Or you can talk with any of our advisors about your unique financial situation here. And as always, just make sure you let them know that you heard about them on the Digging In podcast. Until next time, keep digging it.
This was Digging In Podcast, presented by Rooted Wealth Advisors.